Ilu ilu hotzianu hotzianu mimitraim hotzianu mimitraim dayenu.
This is KCBX Central Coast Public Radio. I'm Father Ian, and I'm playing with food. It's spring, and the Jewish festival of Passover is not far away. And with every Jewish festival, there is food. Central to this festival is the Seder plate.
Seder means order. And the idea behind a Seder is you sit with family and friends and you tell the story of the Exodus and you pray and you thank God for freedom. We have traditional things on the Seder plates. We have parsley, which we dip in salt water, which symbolizes the tears of the slaves, a roasted lamb shank bone, which symbolizes the killing of the firstborn Egyptians, horseradish, which is a bitter herb, an egg, which symbolizes new life and rebirth.
The unleavened bread symbolizes that the Israelites did not have time for the bread or to leaven or to rise.
That bread is called matzah. And one more item on the plate is haroset. Robin Friedman O'Leary and Judy Harris showed me how to make this delicious, treat, mixture, condiment. Not sure what category it's in, but it's important to a Seder, and it's delicious. We also made matzah crackers, each of us for the first time, and I helped them reimagine what can be done with these delicious and symbolic foodstuffs. We are truly playing with food.
I'm Judy Harris. I'm an educator, now retired. Today I'm making haroset.
I'm Robin Friedman O'Leary, and I'm the office administrator at Congregation Beth David and a longtime congregant. And today I'm making Ashkenazi haroset.
Okay, mine is Sephardic, stemming from Spain, but today I'm making a Moroccan from Marrakesh haroset. Mine is with dates, walnuts, and wine.
And mine is a more traditional Eastern European haroset, which is just apples, walnuts, wine, and I use nutmeg. But some people use cinnamon, but I like to use a little nutmeg.
Haroset is how it's pronounced, and it is a Hebrew word meaning clay. When I grew up, we called it mud because it's very thick and binds together. It is spelled differently in the Sephardic, H-A-R-O-S-E-T.
And in Ashkenazi, it's haroset with a C-H. But I think the difference there is that when you Americanize it, it's called haroset. That's kind of the English version of it. And then haroset would be a transliteration of the Hebrew for it.
So we've got this clay, we've got this mud. What is it for?
That's one of the symbols of Passover. We have bitter herbs, lamb shank, egg, parsley, and that's dipped in salt water. And then the mud or clay, representing the mortar of rebuilding the temple.
Oh, see, and I always was told that it represented the mortar that was used to build the pyramids in Egypt because it's the story of Exodus. But see, that's one of the interesting things about Judaism is because of the diaspora and because the Seder plate is a symbolic device. I think earlier it was a mnemonic device. You know, before everybody could read and write, I think the Seder plate was used to help people remember the symbols of the Exodus. And so that's probably where the differences come in. But it probably does stand for both when you think about it in the end. And it is somewhat sweet, depending on how you make it, but a thick, chunky mixture really good on a cracker.
Which is commonly called matzah, an unleavened bread. I'll start with mine. There are basically three ingredients in the haroset from Marrakesh, Morocco. It's sweet wine. I'm using manischewitz, walnut, and dates. And I've prepared a mixture that has been pureed.
You're going to actually make it, or are you going to just
No,
it
it's
out?
Already been made. Okay. I'm just showing you the pre-wine version of this. You can see it was pureed in the Cuisinart. It just kind of looks like, what, crumbs.
This bowl here has the chopped dates, the chopped nuts, and not the wine.
And so I'll mix that up. You can see how it is binding together.
Super, super simple.
Yes, very simple. There are four other recipes I have in the Sephardic cookbook. A Turkish haroset, it's cooked. There's an uncooked Turkish haroset. Greek from Rhodes. Moroccan from Marrakesh, which is what I'm making. Moroccan haroset from Tutuna. And Egyptian haroset. And most of these have apples, pitted dates, almonds, vinegar, wine, cinnamon. Much like what Robin is making, but mine is what I grew up with. My mother was from Tiberias, Israel, but originally from Morocco. So she made this one, the pitted dates, walnuts, and sweet wine. And we, as children, called it mud. We didn't know it was even called Harosset.
Well, let me see what Robin is doing over here.
The first thing I did was I took some walnuts and put them in the toaster oven because they just need to be lightly toasted. There's something about baking them that mellows the flavor out just a little bit. Then I'm going to take some apples. And what we like to do in my family is we like to get a variety of apples. We don't stick with just one kind of apple, but I like to make sure that they're nice. They don't have wax on them because we leave the skin on. Chop them up. So I think one of the best ways to explain this is that most Jews in America came from Eastern Europe. So most of our recipes are Eastern European recipes, which is why this Harosset is something I think most of us are familiar with. And Judy's is so unique. The Eastern European Jews were the biggest wave of immigrants to America in the late 1800s and early 1900s, and certainly after World War II. So you just want to pulse it just a little bit. It's supposed to be kind of chunky, not applesaucy.
This is in preparation for Passover and for the Seder plate, but you eat this on a cracker. Do you eat this at any other time of year? Will you make this just spontaneously?
No, it has so many calories. I would, and it's too delicious and tempting to eat. So no.
Not often, but my kids really like it. And so sometimes they'll say, oh, can you just make a little bit, you know, and they like to put it in their school lunches. But it's more of a special holiday food like latkes are for Hanukkah. All right. Got my apples chopped.
Your walnuts are coming up.
My walnuts are coming up. So this is where not having a recipe comes into play, because what you do is you take your walnuts now and you just eyeball it. Some people like equal ratios. Just depends on what your family likes. All right. So then we'll just pour that in there. Oh. We've got a Central Coast Zinfandel, and it's really lovely. You judge how much you're using by the color. And if you have kids, I always make a version with just grape juice for the kids, because you don't cook the wine out, so eat too much of this and you'll feel it. I like to grate a little bit of whole nutmeg on there. All right, so you just grate. And can you smell? All right, and that's it. I mean, that's how easy it is. And you can taste it. And if
so, that's done.
That's done.
But that's not like mud or clay.
No, it isn't. It's completely different from the Sephardic type of harosset. It's okay. Very different. And so I didn't even know about Sephardic harosset until I was almost an adult.
And so I didn't know about yours until I was an adult.
So shall we try these delectables?
You know, there's a couple ways you can try them. You can just put them straight on the matzah. Or what my family likes to do is make something called a halal sandwich.
Okay, well, let's start with the matzah.
Okay.
We'll try each one on the matzah.
Okay. Here's the Sephardic harosset.
Okay.
And you may put some on the matzah, and as much as you want or as little as you think you can handle.
Three simple ingredients. Mm-hmm. That's very nice.
You like it, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As somebody who's not Jewish and isn't celebrating Passover, I could see this being a condiment for a cheese platter. Very nice.
One thing you should know, this keeps forever.
I'd imagine.
In the refrigerator. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So now that you've brought that up, I think I will keep it in the refrigerator and add it to a cheese platter. What a great idea. Mm. Thank you.
You learned something.
And now I'll make it throughout the year again.
That's right. Why my show is called Playing with Food.
Okay.
So now we have the Ashkenazi.
Right.
And it's much more loose.
Right.
And it's a lighter color.
And it's chunkier.
Okay, here we go. The nutmeg is what I taste first. That's what happens when you grate nutmeg.
There's almost too much nutmeg in this one.
It's definitely not sweet. It's nice. I think this one would also be in a cheese platter. And this would balance the really, really strong cheeses.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not going to hold a temple together.
No, this isn't. Or a pyramid.
Or a pyramid.
Nothing. Nothing like that. It's easy to make, and I encourage you to go home and try it yourself. Mm-hmm. Break out a nice bottle of wine and make yourself some harosset.
Yeah.
The wine might not end up in the harosset.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, there's plenty. You only use a half a cup of wine for all of this ingredient, for a pound of dates and 2 cups of walnuts. So plenty of wine to taste after that.
Mm-hmm. So what you're saying is the Sephardic harosset is the sobering harosset, whereas the Ashkenazi harosset is the... not so sobering harosset. On Passover, we eat a halal sandwich. So you take a piece of matzah, you put some horseradish on it, and then you put some, usually I do it with the Ashkenazi haroset, and then you put another piece of matzah on top, and you eat it. They go together beautifully.
But I think because horseradish is so spicy, I might use the Sephardic because it's sweeter. It'll go down easier for me.
Okay, let me give this a try.
How much horseradish can you handle?
Oh, a lot. I love horseradish. Oh, you're making me the sandwich. Yeah, I'll try both.
There you go.
Here we go. Here, we're going to try the Ashkenazi one with a lot of horseradish. That is really nice, actually.
Good.
Okay, let me try one with the other. I'm not doing well with the matzah over here.
Nobody ever does. So don't feel bad.
Yeah, matzah is everywhere when you eat matzah. What do you think?
It's good. It's very different. It does cut through the horseradish more.
Yes, it does.
This one was more horseradish forward because it's a lighter condiment, and that one's heavier.
Now remember, by the time you would eat this during a Seder, you were at least 1 to 2 glasses in of wine.
That's right.
You know, sometimes you could be a little more liberal with your horseradish because you aren't thinking.
Do you know anybody who makes matzah?
I have tried. What have I tried? I thought about trying. I think I was starting to, and I realized it's really hard because it rises fast. Even if you don't use yeast, flour will rise on its own. Mm-hmm. And so you have to really stand there and watch. And
it never occurred to me to make matzah ever in a million years. It was something I bought of, and I have made bread and I love to cook, but I was watching a cooking show and someone was making matzah and they put weights on the dough and cooked it with the weights on and then removed the weights and continued cooking it. And she had a stack, this chef, I forget her name, stack of matzah. They were not rectangular or square. They were just, you know, free form. It was interesting. I bet they were delicious.
Neither Judy nor Robin had ever made matzah, so I invited them over to my house to give it a try. We are now in my house because we decided that it would be exciting to make matzah. So that's what we're going to do today, right?
Yeah.
So Judy's with me. Robin couldn't be with me. We're going to make matzah, and then we're going to try it with cheese and crackers and haroset, right? Because we thought that was a good idea last time we talked. Yes. But you found out some more information about matzah?
I did. Matzah was the food of the Israelites, and they took it with them on their exodus. But because they had to leave so quickly, they didn't have time for it to leaven. And we eat it every Passover for 7 days. And so we will get started making matzah today. I've never made matzah. I've only purchased it. So this was an adventure.
So we have some that's made from plain flour and one from Karashan wheat, which is one of those ancient grains. So it could have been one of the grains that they made it out of.
Absolutely.
And that's organic and grown locally, this Karashan wheat.
Oh.
So we have some salt and we have some water. That's it, flour, salt, and water.
And you're using kosher salt.
Sure. Wink, wink. Can't remember what the box says. And on the mixer, and it said add the water slowly. Get it the consistency of pizza dough, which it'll need a little bit more water, won't it?
That's it. No, I think that's good. It just needs more time.
Okay. You sure it doesn't need a little bit more water?
Well, let's stop it and by feel. No, I think that's good.
You think that's good?
Feel it.
Oh,
yeah.
It's moist. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, yes. Okay, now you see the pizza dough consistency. It's balling up. See that?
Yeah.
It just needed more time. I think we're good.
You think we're good?
I think we are.
Okay.
Any more, it would get rubbery.
But we'll put it in the bowl, and then we'll do this other one really quickly. Okay. This one might require more flour because it's...
You need more water.
More water because it's a different type of flour.
Yes.
Turn it on.
Okay, this does need a little more water,
I think.
It's already balling up.
There we go.
Yeah, let's slow it down a little bit.
Okay.
Let's check the moisture level.
How's that feel to you?
Going to be fine.
Okay. You said you'd never made this before, but you seem to be an expert.
Well, I bake quite a bit. I'm familiar with the consistency of dough. I make cookies too, and this is. And pizza dough and...
Well, let's move to the other room.
Okay.
One of the things I noticed is that they all have fork holes, and even though this recipe doesn't say that, the picture that accompanies the recipe has a little fork hole, so we each have a fork.
Either that or you have to put weights on it so it doesn't rise, because all flour has a rising component to it, and this is an unleavened bread, so either we put weights on it or we fork it.
Just roll it out. You've never done this. It sounds like something that you could do with your family.
I could have. I never even thought about it.
This is something you can talk about at synagogue next Friday.
Yes, I can.
You can start the matzah circle.
That's a great idea. I could make it with the school children, the religious school children.
Is that good enough?
I think so. Okay. Yes, and mine's small, but I'm going to leave it like that because I like the thickness of it.
Okay, this is very soft, this Kirash and wheat one. I'm going to fork
it. So, yeah, let's just fork it. Make it easy. I don't know what weights you have available.
Cast iron pan.
Okay. All right.
Okay. How simple was that?
That was very simple.
Very simple. So we have to just make sure we don't burn
them. When you buy matzah in the store, they're square. And what we have made look like beautiful clouds. Different shapes with rounded corners. They're not rectangular at all.
Okay, so put them in the oven. I'll put mine on the bottom. Yours on the top. And it said like 3 minutes. It's on 500.
Wow.
And we just wait for 3 minutes.
Okay.
I am paranoid that it's gonna burn.
500 is very hot.
It's very hot, but you gotta trust the recipe.
On bake, it's 500. I don't think my oven goes to 500. Well, they look pretty good so far.
Okay, well, there's the timer.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens here. Let's see. It's gonna take a little bit longer, I think, because it's a different type of flour, so. Okay. It's not 100% crisp.
No, see, it's not done.
Okay, let's turn it over. Yeah, because one of the recipes said, turn it over and put it back in.
Yeah, I think so. Oh, those look really good.
Oh, so these are the Kirash and wheat ones.
Yeah, they made a really nice matzah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, these are really good. I want to taste these.
Now, let's move them back to the dining room. They look good.
Yes, they look very good.
I don't think the white ones are going to be crispy.
The recipe called for 3 minutes.
Called for 3 minutes,
yeah. I think longer on the white for sure, but the others are very nice and crisp.
Do you want to snap it?
Sure.
It tears.
It tears. It doesn't snap. There might be another one that does snap, like that one.
Okay, try that one.
See, in the middle, there's still, that one a little better. So they clearly need more than 3 minutes.
Okay.
I'd say.
Okay.
This is a Sephardic haroset with the dates and walnuts and sweet wine. Here you are.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. And I'm going to try it myself. I like the haroset. The matzah is a little chewy.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. You think?
I'm flexible on the matzah.
The edges are really crisp and they are very flavorful.
Yeah.
It has the right amount of salt. I think a little more cooking would be good.
Mm-hmm. And these are the Kirash and wheat ones, right?
Mm-hmm,
and you're going to try your haroset with the blue cheese.
Okay.
These are California cheeses. One is local and two are Sonoma County. So how is it with the blue cheese? So have I reinvented haroset for you? Because you've heard of eating it with cheese before.
Mm-mm. Delicious.
But we need to try it with wine, of course.
Of course.
This is a Riesling. Okay, so which one are you going to try now?
Okay, I think I'll try the cheddar. And I'm going to try the white flour matzah.
And to be fair to Robin, even though she's not here, we should try it with the other one as well.
Yes, I'll try the Ashkenazi with the apples.
Okay.
And the nutmeg walnuts.
Very nice.
Mm-hmm.
And with the Riesling? I've just redone Passover for you.
Yes, you have.
What a great combination. Mm-hmm. So, your assessment of matzah making, is this something that you're going to do again?
No. This was very enjoyable. It's too easy to go to the store and buy crisp matzah. I will do it with my grandchildren. and the school children, but, you know, making it for the Passover meal, probably not.
Come Passover, you can make a double batch of your harosa. Mm-hmm. You can get with the school children and make some matzo crackers. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then for the entire month of May, you can just sit out on the back porch with your wine and your extra leftover harosit mm-hmm. and your leftover matzah and mm-hmm. have a nice time with your husband.
Yes.
How's that sound?
Sounds wonderful. L'chaim.
Our playing with food was preparing for Passover. Within their own faith, there was a cultural exchange between Ashkenazi and Sephardic, and we discovered a new way to eat and share haroset and matzah. That's why I love playing with food. I'm Father Ian. This is KCBX Central Coast Public Radio.